Our lesson text this morning is from the book of Matthew, verses 28 and through 30 of chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Be seated.
We're glad you're here this morning. As I look over the audience, I see family members visiting and others, and we're just so glad that you are here. And let me just let you know, you're not in a position to know, our early service at 8 has seemingly increased in attendance a great deal in the last few weeks. When you take the number that are here at this service and the number this morning at 8, so many good things are happening, and we're just grateful for that. I am so thankful for last Lord's Day, this last week. So many of you are making positive comments, and we just appreciate so much the interest that seems to be amongst us, and we believe that we have some of our greatest days ahead. It's wonderful to be able to come together like this and worship God. I want you to focus this morning on a four-letter word. A four-letter word that was included in the text that Larry read just a moment ago. The four-letter word is the word come, C-O-M-E. I'm rather sure that you and I heard that word farther back than we can even remember. I would imagine with most of us at the time we were about ready to walk and take that first step, that either a mother or daddy stood across the room or a few feet away and held out the arms and said, come. And I'm pretty sure that even before that, maybe in those first few weeks or maybe the first few months at least, when we began to pay just a little bit of attention, mother reached down and said, come to mommy, or probably it was come to granddaddy or something like that. Probably we heard that word come before we can even remember. You and I use it a lot today. Come to see us. When somebody leaves, come back again. Even sometimes on the sign where you're leaving a town, it will say come again. Now in some instances, it's on the other side of the sign that says welcome in some of the smaller towns. And even at our ball games, the cheerleaders may use that word and lead us as the player is running the ball down the field or on his way for a basket, and we'll say, come on. That word come is a very important word in our language. This morning, we're thinking about it in the sense that Jesus said come. You ever thought about how he used that word? Well, first he used it to say, I am come. In John the 12th chapter in verse 46, he says, I am come a light into the world. I'm here. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here in this world of darkness to shed some light on the subject and to give some hope to people. I am come a light in the world. The Hebrew writer records the words of Jesus in Hebrews 10:9 as saying, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to this earth because his Father sent him. He came with the attitude of doing what his Father wanted him to do. And therefore he makes the statement, I come to do thy will, O God. It is said of him in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save the lost. There is the very purpose that he said, I am come into this world. Man was without salvation. Even the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and animals that were offered under the old law could not take away the sins of the world. There was a need for there to be a Savior, and the Son of Man is come into the world to seek and to save the lost. In John 10 and verse 10, he put it like this, I am come to bring life or to give life I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Now, when I read passages like Luke 19:10 that says Jesus has come to save the lost, I think in terms of heaven. But when I read passages like John 10:10 that he has come to give life and to give it more abundantly, I think in terms of this life. Believe that he is saying that there is a sense in which his coming into this world makes life better. And for those of us who trust in him, who really believe in him, and who look to him and follow him, that we not only have a promise of eternal life, but we have a promise of abundant life. Eternal life there and abundant life here. Aren't you glad that we can look back in the Bible and see those passages where Jesus says, I am come? He makes an unusual statement in Luke 12:51. He says, I am not come to bring peace, but to give division. He didn't mean by that he was coming to promote division, but he realized that in his coming, there would be division over him, and there would be distinct lines drawn between him and the devil, between those that were in him and those that were not in him, because Jesus came for a purpose. Jesus said, I am come into the world. That's a reality. But from a second viewpoint, Jesus used this word and he said, I will come. He's not talking about coming in the first place, because we've just seen that that's a reality, and when he was using these words, I will come, he was already here. This is best explained in one of our favorite passages, John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Revelator closed that 22nd chapter by saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Although we do not know when he is going to come, we cannot predict the time of his coming. From the standpoint of realizing what will happen when he comes, I think it is appropriate for us to pray, come quickly, realizing that the best thing that could happen to any of us would be for Jesus to come and us to be able to go to live with him in heaven. But think about what that promise means. I will come. The two men who appeared to the apostles, as recorded in Acts 1, said, he will come in like manner as you have seen him leave. Jesus ascended and left their presence and went up into the clouds and out of their sight and returned to the Father. They said he's going to come in like manner, which indicates that he will appear again as he comes back to receive his own. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says that he will come to be glorified in his saints. And verses 7-9, just before that, talk about how he's coming to bring judgment on those that know not God and those who do not obey the gospel. He's going to bring punishment to them. And sometimes we end at verse 9, which is unfortunate, because verse 10 goes ahead and emphasizes the other side of the judgment. He's coming to be glorified in his saints. Jesus has said, I will come. Peter at 2 Peter 3:10 said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall be melted with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Jesus said, I will come. What a promise. Sometimes you and I don't keep all our promises. Even at the dating age, we talk about sometimes being stood up, meaning that someone promised to be there and he wasn't there at the appropriate time. All of us have probably experienced that. We may have been the cause of it, where there was a promise to be present and not be there. But Jesus said, I will come. I am come first. The reality that he was here, that he came to be our Savior. And And then realizing that he went back to the Father, the second statement that's important in Jesus, he said, I will come. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But in the third place, Jesus said, I will come in. Revelation 3:20 are the words of Jesus in that book of Revelation where the revelator John records the words of Jesus. You remember those beautiful words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And by reading that passage, you just automatically, almost very soon conclude he's talking about the door of man's heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You see, it's somewhat impersonal if we're not careful when we think about thinking of Jesus when he was here on earth over 1900 years ago. And it may seem a little bit far-fetched to most of us that he's going to come sometime in the future. And when we read those statements, I am come and I will come, if we're not careful, we can let it be so far afield that it doesn't have a personal meaning. But when Jesus says, I will come in, he's talking about you and your heart and me and my heart. If Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I'll come in. Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus says, I'm standing there knocking at the door of your heart. He won't force. But he says, I'll tell you something. If you'll open that door, I'll come in. I'll come into your heart. I'll come into your life. And I'll make a relationship there that will change your life. He says, I'll sup with you and you with me. The idea of two people enjoying, eating, or drinking together in that closeness and that fellowship and that union. He says, that's the kind of relationship we'll have if you'll just let me. I will come in and live in your life and you in Christ. I am come, the reality of his appearing. I will come, the promise of his return, and I will come in, the invitation to be your Savior and for you to accept him through obedience into your life and let him be your own Savior and your own Lord. But then in another way, Jesus simply said, come. Just that one little word, commandment, and invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm pretty sure if Jesus were with us today and we were talking about some specific things that he might very well use that one word. I'm of the opinion that if something were said about vacation Bible school, Jesus would say, come. Something were said about the opportunities to worship on a regular basis, Jesus would say, come. An opportunity to work and do something in the Lord's kingdom and be of service to people in the community. I believe if there were a get-together like that and Jesus were where he could say something about it, I think he might simply say, come. Because that's his invitation to us, to come and be involved in his work. In fact, he said this almost in a sense in Matthew 16:24 when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is saying, come. I'm of the opinion that we are allowing ourselves to let the extending of the invitation become somewhat commonplace. I'm not for sure that we think about the seriousness of it. Folks, we don't sing an invitation song at the end of the lesson just to have something to sing. We don't extend the invitation or remind us that the Lord extends his invitation at that time just to have something to say. And it's not the only time that the invitation being extended would be appropriate. Because there is a sense in which the invitation of Christ is extended constantly. When the invitation song ceases, the invitation of Christ does not cease. Because as long as you and I are alive, Jesus is saying, come. If it is a person who has not become a Christian, he's saying, come. Come and confess my name. Whosoever will, I'll confess him before my Father in heaven, Matthew 10:32. Come and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, to wash away those sins, Acts 2:38 and 22:16. It is Jesus really, you see, when the invitation is extended, not the ones who might stand here at the front or the one who might say something. It is Jesus who is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And if you're living in sin, you're laden and heavy laden. You're carrying a burden, and you need a rest, and Jesus is saying, come. In another sense, he's saying to those who have become unfaithful to him and who are not in tune with his work, he's saying, come back. How often do we mention that? Prayer, repentance, confession one to another, that God will forgive. You see, it is Jesus that is extending that invitation and saying, come. And sometimes I try at least to say, instead of saying we extend the invitation, to say we remind you that the Lord is extending his invitation. That's really what's taking place. It is Jesus who is saying, come. He says in John 6:37 that the ones that the Father has given to him, that he'll not turn back. He says, him that cometh to me, that the Father has given me, I will in no way turn aside. Jesus is saying, come. It is said in Hebrews 7:25 that he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to him, or come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. You remember, he has left his treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. And those earthen vessels are those of us that are in his bride. And the Spirit, through the word, is extending the invitation. The Spirit says, come. The bride, those that are in the church, say, come. Even the one who hears should encourage others to come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you know, I think there is a special sense in which Jesus is saying today, will you come? Asking that question. We sometimes sing that in one of our songs. Will you come? Will you come? Jesus said, I am come. He's a reality, folks. He says, I will come again. We have something toward which we can look. He says, I will come in to your heart if you'll open it. And then, having said all of that, he says, come unto me. Our question is, will you come? As together we stand and sing.